It's truly an honor and a privilege to serve anywhere in Narcotics Anonymous because you guys have saved my life. You know, coming into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous, even making the statement, "Hello, my name is Beth and I am an addict," was a big statement for me to accept, you know, and surrendering to the fact that I did not have this, that I could not do this on my own, because for years before coming in, I tried so hard to put down, you know, and today I find myself still feeling like a newcomer, but I have 9 months in now. We have 9 months and 4 days. So thank you. And, you know, I just feel like I'm starting in recovery. And I have a home group and I work the NA steps with my sponsor and I go to meetings every day. You guys told me do 90 meetings in 90 days. And I said, "Whoa, that sounds like a lot." The first meeting I went to, there was this woman who was sharing for her 6-year anniversary. And I looked at her and I go, 6 years of not using. Like, I could not believe it. I could not understand it. I couldn't grasp it, but I knew that she had something that I wanted because the ladies that I saw, they walked with grace, they walked with poise, they walked with, you know, honor and humility and just integrity, something that I wanted, you know, because I couldn't even look you in the face. I could put on a mask and pretend to be this professional person and like I'm confident and self-love and blah, 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 but like that was all a sham. And you guys could see right through me. And I felt that. I felt very exposed and very open and just like ready for it to be enough, because that was the end of my road. So a little bit about my backstory. I was born in South Korea. My mom is Korean and my dad is American. And growing up in the 80s and 90s, it wasn't easy. I was always told that I was different. I was always told like, "What are you?" You know, so I didn't know who I was from the very get-go. And, you know, like life happens on life's terms. And the pamphlet, the triangle of self-obsession, you know, I'm starting to realize and I'm starting to become aware of my childhood and how my disease has always been there and has always been present, because my addiction is more. I've always wanted more. I couldn't look into myself to find the answers. I always had to get outward, you know, acceptance and like, make me feel better, do this, do that. And, you know, like it was hard because, you know, I've experienced some things when I was growing up, some things that maybe, you know, kids shouldn't be experiencing. And, you know, by the time I got to middle school and high school, that's when I really, I just really knew that I wanted to get outside myself, because inside my own body wasn't safe. That's what I felt like. That inside here wasn't calm. It wasn't a safe place. It's just like, you know, I felt all these feelings and I didn't want to feel it. And I just felt like this, I can't even put words to it, right? So, you know, when I picked up for the first time and I felt that numbing sensation of like, like I could finally relax, or so I thought, right? And I just chased after it. And yeah, it was fun at first, but then like, you know, like anything, I took it to the extreme. The reason why I couldn't identify as an addict in the beginning, because I knew my craving for more was more than my friends. I knew that I was different from my friends because, you know, when I would hang out with my friends and I would go for one more. And my friends are like, "No, like, take it easy, Beth." And I was like, "No, just like, let's go." I knew I was different in my using, but I always felt different. So I didn't really question that. And I was able to put down for a little bit when I had my first kid and I had my second kid. I was able to put down and I thought, "Hey, I got this." You know, and then when I got divorced in 2012, that's when it really started to take off again, because I couldn't sit with those emotions. You know, I felt like a failure. I felt like I was alone in the world and I was being abandoned again. And I was being, you know, put out to the side. And I had all these emotions, but I had to be there for my kids. So I had to like show up and I had to do this and I had to do that. And, you know, I can do that because I'm an independent woman. So no one could tell me differently. And for a long time that worked, but I still used, you know, everything that I did surrounded around using. And, you know, when I came into the program of Narcotics Anonymous, I was absolutely broken inside spiritually. I wish I could tell you a good story of that I was in jail or something catastrophic happened, but my moment of clarity didn't come like that. My moment of clarity came when I was sitting at my desk working, and I just was tired of being tired, and the drugs weren't working anymore. You know, it just wasn't working. And I, you know, I would do more and more, and like, it just wasn't working. So I was looking at my phone and I said, I can either call my dealer, my hookup, and get more of something different, or I can try this new thing, this thing that my friend kept on talking about with this Narcotics Anonymous thing. And I said, let me just give this a try, because for so long I wanted to put down. For so long, I was like, okay, I would wake up in the morning, this is the day, I'm not going to use today. And every night would be a night of, you know, oh, I can celebrate, this happened, this exciting thing happened. Or I would just have a really crappy day, and I would just, there would always be a reason to use. So for every day, for years, I wanted to put down, and I just couldn't do it myself. And maybe I would get one day, but that was it. So, you know, coming into the program and seeing someone with 6 years, I was like, oh my goodness, like, could this really work for me? Like, I had so many doubts. I was like, this might not work for me. But they said, keep coming back. Just keep coming back. You know, just for today, let's not worry about tomorrow. Let's keep it in today. Just come back tomorrow. So I did. And in the meetings, I would sit there and I would shake and I would sweat profusely. And I came into the meetings, and I don't know what it was like over there in the UK, but in July, it was really, really nice outside. So we would go out into the gazebos, and, you know, they would say things like, we usually hug during this time, you know, during the third step prayer. And I was like, what? Like, I didn't experience that, but I still felt the love and I still felt the acceptance, right? Because this program is all about love. And I felt a part of, because they kept, what they would keep inviting me to these things. And like, they said, keep coming back. And like, for me to be a part of, to feel like a part of something, like, was huge, you know, because I always felt like I was on the outside. I was on the exterior, and they put me in the middle, and they said, just keep coming back, honey, just keep coming back. We love you. And I was like, you don't even know me. You don't even know the craziness that's happening inside my heart and my brain. You don't know how broken I am. You don't know the stuff that I've done in the past, those horrible, horrible things that, you know, my sponsor, my higher power, who they know. You know, you don't know the ugliness that lives inside of me. But they said, oh, we know. And through the shares, you know, I would listen for the differences, but I would pick up on the similarities. It's the feeling behind it. It's the feeling of, you know, going out there and being desperate, desperate to get off of the drug, but not being able to. Feeling that depression and that anger and that frustration and that resentment and not knowing what to do with it. So what, you know, what better to do than to like personalize it on me? So, you know, through this process and going through some of the steps, now I'm only on step 4, so I'm not anywhere, like, I haven't arrived, I will never arrive. And when I talked to my sponsor about taking this commitment, she said, well, just share where you are, Beth. And I said, yeah, but there's so many people that have so much more experience and strength and hope. And, you know, like, what do I have to offer? Because I'm combating with that worthlessness that's deep inside. I'm combating with that, Beth, what do you have to give? You know, and I'm combating with, like, for so long, I believed I was a mistake, y'all. I thought I was a mistake. But through this process, through writing on feelings on step 4 and giving my will and my life over to the power, over to God as I understand him, and believing that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity, I can now say with full confidence that I am not a mistake. I was just wrong. And I can be wrong about the way that I thought about myself. you know, because you guys love me through that. And I'm not ever going to arrive. You know, I struggle with the disease of perfection too. You know, everything has to be perfect, even my step work and my sponsor, bless her heart. She tells me, Beth, you're never going to arrive. Don't get it twisted. She's from New Jersey. And if you know anything about the East Coast and the States, you know, don't get it twisted, honey. Like, so she'll tell me, but she'll say it to me in such a gentle and loving way. And, you know, through this process, I'm learning how to be a better mother. I'm learning how to be a better friend. I'm learning how to be a better person to myself, which then ripples out to more. And, you know, just recently, I'm a hard-headed addict. Like, it takes me a while to get something through this brain, right? And I went through step 1, 2, 3, and I was like, oh yeah, I got this. Like the meat and potatoes are going to be in step 4. Like, that's where I could really dig deep and find out what's wrong with Beth, right? And like, life happens, right?
Yo, Rachel, you're kind of cute. Can I get your number?
I didn't.
I'm going to jack off so motherfucking hard tonight. I'm going to shoot my motherfucking dick until that fat motherfucker can't be struck no more.
Hey,
what's
up,
buddy?
What's good?
Thank you. Is the Jennifer one? Can somebody kick her out? Thank you.
Thank you. You can edit that out in the recording afterwards, right? Oh my goodness. So life happens, and you know, this is my experience. I can only share where I'm at. Right? I can only share the experience that I've had in the program of recovery. And like, I have a 14 and a 17 year old. I have a 14 year old daughter and a 17 year old son. And, you know, my daughter was cutting herself. She was self-harming, and I felt really helpless. And I knew that it was something greater than me. And for the longest time, I thought I could be that person because I, you know, I'm a good addict. I like to control and manipulate and, you know, take care of the situation because like mom should be able to do it, right? Like mom should make it better and mom should be able to like take away that pain that she's feeling. And like she's hurting about something that I can't control. So it took my sponsor to say, Beth, this is bigger than you. This is bigger than you. And my daughter revealed something to me that scared the living bajinkers out of me. And I said, sponsor, and I picked up the phone, which is something that I didn't typically do. And I said, help me, I don't know what to do. And she said, well, take her to the hospital. She needs help. You can't do this anymore, mama. You gotta go get help. So I said, okay. So I took that suggestion, and that's what I learned through this program, is to take the suggestion. The suggestions are there for a reason. Take the suggestion. If you're new or if you're hard-headed like me, take the suggestion, Beth. And I have to continue to tell myself that because the suggestion it saved her life. So she went away to a hospital, and like through this whole process, I couldn't have done it. What I couldn't do, we did together. Whether it was coming into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous and just sitting here and looking at the squares on the screen and just listening, because like I needed to have you guys tell me things about recovery and to keep me grounded, or if it was calling my sponsor. And, you know, she said something really, really important to me. She said, Beth, this is your second and third step. There's going to be times where you can't get a hold of anyone. And no human on this earth is going to be able to be there for you. And I said, you know, that's very true. And I can't handle it. So like, that's when step 3 comes into play. That's when the God of my understanding comes into play. And you know, what's really beautiful about this program, I don't have to believe in your God or her God or anyone else's God. Like, it's my God, and my God loves me. It's a loving and caring God. And like, wow. You know, because I had some things about you know, religion and, you know, and that kind of thing before, but like coming into this program, that was like one of the reservations that I had. So like, you know, she prayed with me in the Narcotics Anonymous way that like helped me to get through that and like put words, like it was not my words that came out when I talked to my daughter and the doctors at that hospital that day. It was not me talking. It was like, God, get me out of the way so you can go. You know, it was just like something shifted in that moment that like, I am completely surrendered to this process. I'm at a complete, in a posture of humility and like surrender and just please here, just take my will, take my life and guide me in my recovery because I can't do this. And like my higher power talks to me through the words that come out of your mouths and through the literature. And, you know, I'm realizing that I can't rely on myself because my thinking in here is what got me here. And just when I think I got it, like I don't got it, right? You know, and, you know, just keeping that in mind. So like I have notes all over the place. Like I have post-its like everywhere. And like my literature is always here next to me because at a moment's notice, like my disease of addiction is baffling, cunning, like insidious, and it just pops in out of nowhere. So I need to be always on guard about it because it'll pop up in the weirdest ways. On my 9th month celebration, that thought came in, I want to celebrate. And I'm driving by to go to the grocery store and I see the wine and spirit store and I'm like, oh, let's go get a, wait, what? And then it comes into other ways, like things that I've never even wanted because I want to get out of myself. Because if whenever those feelings get too overwhelming, where I'm like, I'm going through step 4, so I'm going through some stuff that like I didn't look at before and I'm forced to look inward and that's uncomfortable for me. So for me to look inside myself and be like, ooh, that's my side of the street. I got to clean that up, you know, because there's some ugly parts of me that I just kind of pushed down and like didn't want to take a look at and it's been festering in there. Y'all talk about an onion peeling back layers. Well, I don't know about anyone else, but my experience with this 4th step, it's like I'm taking off band-aids that have been on there for years and I'm cleaning out this gnarly wound that's been festering and I'm cleaning all that gunk out. And like, I want to act out in different ways that I've never even acted out on. But like what my 2nd step has taught me and what my sponsor has taught me is just pause, Beth. Let's just take a minute. Let's just take a minute. Get into a meeting. Give a fellow addict a call. And today, now here's the hope. Today, I can react differently. I have so many women and men in my network that I can reach out to at a moment's notice. At a moment's notice. And this Zoom thing, like, y'all are in UK. I'm in the States. Like, this is really cool. And no matter what language we speak, what area we've grown up in, our backgrounds, anything, we can all come together and like identify and be like, yeah, I get you. I get that. And like, this program is amazing. It's been life-changing. And like, I know that more is going to be revealed. I know that way more is going to be revealed. And in time, that's great. And I don't need it all right now, today, tomorrow, like yesterday, you know, because I'm just right exactly where I need to be. And like, I'll listen to women who share after having 10, 20, 30 years. And the poise and the grace and the peace that they have, I want. So of course I'm gonna follow them around. Of course I'm gonna listen, take out the cotton in my ears and put it in my mouth and be like, what do you gotta say? Please tell me what I have to do. And that's another thing that I've learned is stop relying on me. Like, the answers are right here in the rooms. And like, just saying, help me. And I can say that today. And what I get in response is so much knowledge. Thank you. I acknowledged the 5 minutes. What I get today is hope that someday an addict like me can get peace like you. And, you know, thank God, and thank God for this program, that the desire to use has been lifted. That craving to use has been lifted. Now, the disease still lives in me, but I'm not responsible for that. I'm responsible for my recovery. And thank God for the women and men in this program who show me a new way to live so that I can learn from you and so that I could have a new way to live with just a life beyond my imagination. If I would have put a list of things that I was expecting from this program when I first came in, I would have been so shortchanged. I'd have been like, I just want to put down. That's my only reason I came in. And I was like, you have 6 years and you're smiling? Like, I want that. But what I found is a spiritual program that's super simple that I overcomplicate, and I need you to simplify it again for me every day. And with that, I will keep coming back and I will keep learning. Thank you so much for allowing me to share and participate.